Hey everyone, it's Teacher Mike here and you're listening to my podcast. And I'm super, super happy and honored that you are here. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on YouTube, you can find me on Snapchat and Twitter. Mostly, I'll be on Instagram, Twitter, and now definitely YouTube. So just look for me there. It's Teacher Mike and enjoy today's episode. Hey everyone, it's Teacher Mike here, and today I'm here with Pinho Calistenia. You guys have always been asking me, where is Pinho? Here he is today. So we're going to talk a little bit about quarantine and what's been happening with your and our minds and how we're kind of keeping away from it. And we're going to talk about everything else too.
What's going on, guys? This is Pinho, and today I'm going to talk to Teacher Mike. You guys, if you guys listen to my podcast, you guys seen him a couple of times. And today we're going to talk about quarantine and how to stay healthy, how to not only physically, but like mentally healthy during these hard times.
Heck yeah, man. It's going to be a good conversation. So yeah, bro, let's start. First of all, what are you doing, bro? What are we doing to stay healthy?
Man, like I'm trying to exercise like every day. If I don't train my regular, you know, like calisthenics workouts, I go for a walk, I go for a bike ride. I try to stay active every single day, even walking my dog or something. I think this is very important for everybody. Mm-hmm. Like these days, a lot of people, like I know some people who are staying at home, mm-hmm. like they haven't left home mm-hmm. in 4 months.
Yeah.
You know, like this is crazy for me, you know, like you're still allowed to go out in most places.
Yeah.
If you live in like a democratic and
democratic
free
world.
Countries, yeah. If you live in free countries,
yeah,
you're still allowed to go out, even though you wear a mask or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but you're still allowed to go out. And this is a good thing. And since the beginning, I've been going for long walks.
Mm-hmm.
Even in March, it was pretty cold here in Canada. Like, yeah. It was still like some days below zero.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going out, man. It didn't matter. Like it was raining, it was whatever was happening outside, I was going out with my wife. I was going for long walks, like 2-3 hours walks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that made the whole difference in our mental state during those times.
100%. And I told you right before we recorded the podcast that I was talking to a few friends and they said, yeah, like I'm home all the time. I feel really bad. I feel like I can't accomplish the things that I wanted to accomplish during the day. And a lot of it comes from this, because if you're always at home, you're always at that environment, I think, I don't know exactly why, but you're bound to feel emotionally tired and exhausted on that environment all the time. And a lot of those people are doing that because they say, coronavirus, I can't go out. And sure, think whatever you want, but ideally, you can go out, as Pinho just said, and you can walk. And if you want to have a mask on, do have the mask on, whatever, but walk outside. And you do, if you want to keep the distance from each other, do that either way, but walk, run. Walk your dog, as Pinho said. If you don't have a dog, walk yourself. Walk with a friend. Go to the gym. Go to the gyms that are outside. Because there are, like in Brazil, I think there's even more gyms outside than we find here.
Of course.
There, yeah. Like in Porto Alegre, there's like one every corner.
Yeah.
And here in Toronto, it's very hard to find sometimes.
Yeah.
So yeah, ideally.
It's a prison. It's a prison, right? Like you're at home, you're in home arrest. You're there for...
home arrest, yeah.
You are not made to be in a cage. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like when I talk to people even in Brazil and say, people was saying, oh, my city's in lockdown, we can't go out.
You can't do anything.
And I was saying, man, like, drive far, go out of your city. You know, Ceará, my state, we have 800 kilometers of coast. So you can go for like 100 kilometers away from your city and just go to the beach. Like, there's no one there. There's no way you're going to pass coronavirus to somebody else.
Right, yeah.
If that's your fear, you know, if you're concerned about passing the virus to someone else or getting the virus from someone else, go somewhere where there is no one. You know, there's no moral and ethical
dilemma
thing.
Or problem.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing. You know, there's not going to be somebody there to give you a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
There's not going to be anybody there to shame you for not wearing a mask. You know, if you're in the middle of a jungle or, you know, the wild, nobody cares, you know? Like, nobody's going to be there to judge you. Nobody's going to be there to watch you if you're wearing a mask or not. Nobody's going to be there to pass the virus or to get the virus from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, just think about your body and your mind and try to protect yourself. You know, like, the government, they have, like, a lot of power. We notice more than, like, any other time that we have lived. Like, I'm 32, almost 33 years old, and I've never seen nothing like this, you know? The government dictating how you're going to go out, when you're going to go out, and, like, being so like
invasive
of your freedom, you know. I've never seen that, but they don't have that much power if you look closely, you know. They can't, like,
because if everyone goes out, what are they gonna do?
And even if you go out far, you know, what if you exercise in at your place in home, you know? It doesn't mean just because you're obligated to stay at home, it doesn't mean you can stay unhealthy and watch Netflix and eat Cheetos every day, you
exactly,
know?
Exactly.
You are 100% responsible for your mental and physical health.
Yeah, this is...
And you have more power than you think.
I think this is a very good point, because a lot of people, and we were talking about this right before, a lot of people will try to put their mental state or their health state fault, their health state problems, faults into someone else. So they're going to try to blame someone else. They're going to try to blame the government, because the government wants me to stay home, so now I'm unhealthy and it's the government's fault. So I think that's a very key thing here is, well, yes, they are a bunch of useless idiots that want to control your life, but as you said, they can't control your life to that extent. If you go out, you're in Ceará, you are whatever, just walk, or take your car, go far from it, and you're gonna be fine. And it's your own duty to own your body to the point where if you want to go outside and work out at a gym, at a street gym, you should do it.
Totally. 100%, I agree with you. In today's society, like, it's very easy to victimize yourself and put the blame in everybody else for every minor mistake, even your choices.
Yeah.
Even my choices that I make, the bad choices I make in my life, it's my parents' fault.
Yeah.
The government's fault. It's not just the government, you know. We blame everybody for everything that goes wrong in our life.
Yeah.
You know, like, we blame our parents. Like, you're 60 years old and you're going to be blaming your parents for the where you are in life.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make sense for me. Like, I think there is a time you got to break those chains, you know. You got to break those chains of victimization. You need to be 100% responsible and have ownership of your life.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be responsible, hold yourself accountable to the results of your life, you know.
100%.
Like, I was talking earlier to Mike. I had a really good friend of mine in the police in Brazil. I was a police officer for 7.5 years. And this guy was all the time complaining about the government and all the things. His life was bad because of the government, every single thing. And I was saying, man, like, wait a second. Like, the government doesn't have that much control over every single aspect of your life, you know? You have choices.
Yeah.
You can choose things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look closely, we all have choices that we need to make every single day. Of course, liberty is going to come with a load,
price.
You know, come with a price, a burden, you know. You have to have responsibility, you know, have to own the outcomes of your choices.
Yeah.
You know, you make a choice, everything that happens, good or bad, it's going to be on you, you know. Blame yourself, you know, for whatever bad or good things happen to your life. Of course, the government can choose to close your business, put you out of work, you know.
Yeah.
They can do all that stuff, but there's always something you can do. Focus on what you can do. And I think what you can do is try to keep your mind healthy, like reading, try to spend some time in nature, try to talk to people, like, with no judgment, you know, no cancel culture, you know. Talk to somebody that you can be yourself, you know. You don't need to be walking in eggshells. Try to take care of your body, you know. Try to go for a walk, go for a run, bike, do some push-ups, do something even at home, you know. There's always something you can do. You can be healthier. The government is not choosing the things you're gonna buy at the grocery store.
Yeah.
You know, they're not choosing for you. They're not putting ice cream and all the crap that we like eating during those times. The government is not gonna make you watch the crap that you watch on Netflix or pornography or whatever it is that you're addicted to right now, you know. It's just, like, we have a responsibility over our mental and physical health. That's what I think.
100%. Super, super agree. And I think you touched a little bit on the burden of freedom, right? Because freedom comes with two things. It comes with the fact that you're free. And this is a lot on the book that we read, right? I'm still reading, Pinho finished the book, which is called Escape from Freedom. And a lot of it stems from there, which is freedom comes with the ability to be free. And that is a very good thing. That's a very good positive aspect of freedom. But it also comes with the price that you pay to have it, which is owning the results and the outcome of the decisions you make. And that is a burden to have, because now you know, well, if I fucked up, it's my own fault. Now, what do you think, Pinho? Do you think that people enjoy the idea and they, what's the term here? They they like, I was thinking of another word, but anyways, they entertain the idea of the government deciding for them, and sometimes they complain, but they kind of like it because they don't want to own their problems. Why do you think some people will be like that? They're going to be like, yeah, I'm unhealthy now, but it's all the government's fault. Where do you think that's coming from?
I think it depends on the individual. Mm. You know, like I come from a small town. A little dog came here to say hi to us.
Hello, doggo.
Yeah, guys. So I come from a small town, and like we have some. I was someone who's always saw my parents and grandparents, everybody working and trying to survive and try to thrive, depending on the situation. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying I find myself fortunate to have the family that I had, mm-hmm. but I can't imagine someone who has no like foundation, who's like was raised without like some of the parents. It must be hard for someone to try to get the information out from this world, like your values. Mm-hmm. You don't know where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I think it becomes a little bit of a like unsolid ground, you know, when you have that. I just feel like today it's very comforting, the feeling that you can blame someone else for your mistakes.
Mm.
And sometimes we just like that. We just want somebody to tell us what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't like making choices. That's why people, you know, gather in groups today and just protest and do whatever the group is
doing.
Acting like.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like there's a bunch of sociology tests about the behavior, crowd behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
You see a bunch of torcidas organizadas of football in Brazil some other countries.
Mm-hmm.
You see some people, they behave differently than how
they would behave alone.
Individually.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So most of these people who are looting streets and protesting and doing all this stuff,
they're doing that because of group behavior.
They would not do if they were by themselves.
Yeah.
They would feel pretty weak.
Yeah.
Like an individual is weak, but when you gather in thousands, you just act in a way that it's not yourself.
Your natural way.
Yeah, it's just, I just feel like it's, you know, today it's kind of hard to, you know, just like we said, like freedom is something, it's a heavy burden, you know, for some people. Like, imagine like looking at yourself in the mirror and just saying, man, I'm responsible for all this.
Yeah, yeah.
All this, like the shit my life is right now.
It's my fault.
It's my fault. It's like some heavy pill to swallow,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it is.
It's
not
easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you have a really good point. I also like that what you said, like when you have foundations, you're able to inform yourself a little bit better. I think we can touch on that topic. How do we navigate age of information today? How do you, for example, I know we are very similar in our way of thinking, but definitely for someone that is listening to us right now, I'm sure there's people that are listening that still think, okay, I can't believe though. I can't trust those news sources. I can't trust those media sources. What do you think? What do you think about the state of media today? You can say whatever,
of course,
man. This is uncensored.
Right, man. So this is going to be a heavy topic for you guys to listen to.
But,
okay, bear with us.
Yeah.
What I'm going to say is like, today we live in that, we call the information age,
right? Information age, yeah.
Yes.
Age of information.
So we are not misinformed because of the lack of information.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good point.
You don't learn English because you don't have content online.
Mm.
No, you have too much.
You have too much.
You're not fit. You don't start training because you have lack of information. No, you have a flood of information.
Mm-hmm.
You have a bunch of information. A lot of this information, it's making people to have the paralysis by analysis, right?
Oh, yeah.
You have so much information that you don't know what to do with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And like what I think today is
just so I can give some context is that some people understand this. There's a very good psychological experiment. Have you ever seen this? They give a kid. So basically they give a kid the options between two things or between 10. And when they give the two options, the kid is able to choose one or the other. But if you give the kid 10 options, it doesn't do anything.
It makes total sense.
It's not able to choose.
Look at yourself. Look at yourself tonight when you go to choose a movie to watch on Netflix.
Netflix, yeah. You stay hours.
How long does it take for you?
Yeah.
How long does it take to find a good movie? Because you got to think about it. I'm going to watch a 2-hour movie. So I'm going to invest 2 hours of my time on this. If it's a bad movie,
I'm going to be pissed.
I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah.
But you end up taking like 45 minutes to find a good movie.
Yeah.
You go at IMDb, you go at Rotten Tomatoes to see the reviews, and you say, okay, this movie might be worth my time. It's 7.5 on IMDb, so it must be a good movie. And then you spend like
2 hours,
half the time that you would spend watching the movie, just choosing a good movie.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
It's crazy.
And you do the same thing on social media. You go on YouTube, you scroll down all the way down, you know?
Just to make sure you find a good video.
From your homepage or explore page. Mm. You go to Instagram, you go all the way down until you see the check mark there.
Yeah.
Just to see if it, is anything worth my time? Mm. And then you spend more time choosing stuff than actually like having some out of it, having some information, something useful out of it.
Yeah.
So what I think was like the generation of our parents, people in the 80s or even the 90s, we didn't have like this much
information.
Like I had a cell phone when I was 21. This is crazy.
Yeah.
11 years ago.
Yeah.
Until I was 21, I'd never had a phone.
Yeah.
So if I was in the bus, I was looking outside of the window, just
crazy,
watching the places and seeing
the streets.
Yeah. Waiting for my stop. That was it, you know. Pretty
crazy,
boring,
crazy
but
times.
That was life.
Yeah.
I was reading all the time. Like I started reading when I was maybe 18. Uh-huh. I read my first book when I was 18. So if you're younger than that, there's still hope.
Still hope.
Yeah, don't worry. So what I think is like today you have, you're losing objectivity in everything. Like there's no more objective truth.
Damn.
And try to understand this. Objective truth is something that is truth. There's no like... how do you say?
I love this.
A pedophile. What does he? What is the subject? What is the?
What do you
noun?
Mean?
What is the noun of a pedophile commits? I'm trying to look for the word.
Pedophilia.
Pedophilia. Okay, you see, pedophilia. It's objective truth. Is a crime? Is wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that is objective. There's no subjectivity on that.
Yeah.
It's changing a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a bunch of subjects that you have, it's subjective.
Yeah.
Subjective means is your truth. You have your views on
your own view. Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at the news today, like it doesn't matter the TV.
It doesn't matter if it's CNN or Fox News.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They have a view.
Yeah.
It's not more the news business. It's the opinion business.
Dang.
They have an opinion about something. And you see the same in Brazil. You see, like, how can you explain this? For example, this is going to be controversial. Okay,
go
guys,
ahead.
So
no
be
worries.
Ready for this. You see Bolsonaro, 100% of the news media, of the mainstream media in Brazil, they all hate Bolsonaro.
Mm-hmm.
You see, even here, like, I have a bunch of friends, nobody been to Brazil, but all they know about Brazil is that
Brazil's
the Brazilian president is bad, he's not popular, he's making bad choices.
Mm-hmm.
But lately, this week, you saw like a poll about the who would people would vote in the next election.
Mm-hmm.
And Bolsonaro was the first.
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain that?
Mm-hmm.
100% of the media, 100% of the international views on Brazil, they say the Brazilian government is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the Brazilian people,
that
the majority of them, they still would choose Bolsonaro. How do you explain that? You explain that by saying the media is
not telling the truth.
Yeah, they have their bias.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not on the news... how to say this? The news business. Anymore.
Mm.
They're in the opinion business.
Mm.
And you're not going to see like news anywhere else.
Mm.
Today you see every single, like even in the US, you see Fox News, you see CNN. You see both sides, the opposite side, the controlled opposition.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of news that you never see on Fox News.
Mm. And there's a bunch of news you never see on CNN. And what I find it really interesting is because we're living in Canada, so we are able to see things from a macro perspective because you are here. So you kind of see the news from Canada, you see the news from the United States, and you also see the news from Brazil, which is something that when you're living in Brazil, you don't often do. You don't really look at the news that people are saying in the United States, and you don't often look at the news that people are saying in Canada. But when you're here, for some reason, I think it becomes common that you look at kind of everything at the same time because you want to know what's happening in Brazil, you also want to know what's happening in Canada, and you also kind of want to know what's happening in the US. And this, when I started doing this, 2016, that's when I came here, I kind of got that perspective that in Brazil, media is not as open as to what their position is as it is in Canada or US. So for example, when you're watching Fox News or CNN in the US, you kind of know this. They're kind of pretty clear that they have a bias. When CNN went to Brazil, I don't think they made that clear. They didn't make it clear. For people that are watching CNN in Brazil, and that are getting all their information from CNN, they are not aware that CNN is not in the news business, that, as you said, that they're in the opinion business, or even in the click business, because they make money out of clicks,
of
right?
Of course.
And I was talking the other, so this podcast is going to be on air before, but on next Wednesday, this Wednesday, depending on when you're listening, or maybe before, maybe you're, whatever. But I have a podcast with Zuby. This guy here talked about this. He said, basically, the media is not on the news business. He said the same thing as you said. And he said, what they have is they have an incentive to give you news that will make you mad or happy, but always on the extremes, to make sure you click. And then because that they have that incentive on clicks, they will either use clickbaits or rage baits, right? And then because of that, that incentive makes the news go onto a downwards spiral, just going to make bad news or like opinion-based news to make sure they have that advertising money.
Yeah, it's just like you see on YouTube today.
Yeah.
You go to a fitness YouTube and you see a video. You're gonna think if you're gonna trade your time for that video. So you look the thumbnail.
Yeah.
You look the length of the video. If it's too long, no, I don't want to watch a 20-minute video on how to do push-ups, how to have a bigger chest.
Mm.
This guy doesn't even have a big chest on the thumbnail. Mm. So you check all this stuff. The title, if it's a catchy title, if there is like some bright colors on it.
A face that looks scared.
Face, yeah. Look what happened. Look how crazy this is.
Yeah.
Look what Bolsonaro did now.
Yeah.
And you see the news are getting that too because it's so much information that you have more information than people can consume.
Mm.
So you have to make a catchy title. You have to make something that's going to poke somebody.
Yeah.
You're going to make something that's going to be like
annoying,
controversial that's going to bring up emotions.
Yeah.
And people are going to, oh, now I'm going to click on this on a G1 website.
And that's what they do with coronavirus, right? So deaths are going down and they're going to be like, oh, we have, like, for a good example that I saw this recently. Sorry that I interrupted you. But a good example that I saw this recently was in a news broadcast and they had this graph. And so I can't remember exactly what graph it was, but basically what they did is because the deaths were going down, but they still wanted to show that they were big, they just changed the scale of the graph. So two deaths looked like it was 20 because of the scale. You know what I mean? So
crazy.
You know what I mean? They're manipulating things. Yeah.
Manipulating the data. So that's what I'm saying. Like the news, they can't like lie in your face. They can manipulate, they can show you what they want to focus on. You know, they can do, they use these tactics, you know. So you think, let's just give an example, you know, like there's many examples that you can see right now, and they can just distort things.
Distort the information.
Yeah, distort the information.
So they can say, for example, oh, today we had double the number of deaths that we had in coronavirus the other day. But then they have 10 deaths and they had 5 the other day. So that's double.
Of course. Yeah.
But it's 10.
that's a good example.
Yeah.
Like you have this this study that was made, like I think it was the first serology test. They took the test of blood from people in California, in a county. And they check and like the virus was already spread out more than it was before, than the previous thought.
Okay.
Because they thought it was like, oh, this is 1% of people are dying.
Uh-huh.
But actually it was 0.05% of people according to the stats. Because if you amplify the data, if you see like every research is like this.
Yeah.
You can't test 100% of the people.
Yeah, you take a substrate of that information and you amplify the data for the general population.
That's what they did. But then the result was this. Okay, less people are dying. This was the conclusion of the study.
Mm-hmm.
You guys can check. That was made by, I think was Stanford University. It was the first serology test. It was made in March in California.
Mm.
And what was the result was the virus is more spread, widespread in the population more than the previous
thought. More than what we thought,
So the death rate is actually a lot lower than they thought before.
Mm-hmm.
So a 0.05 instead of 1.something percent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Washington Post made talking about it and was saying Stanford research shows that the virus is more spread out. That's what they said. They just said that.
This is so fucked up.
So if you watch, if you're already like in panic because of all the news,
now you're more
deaths,
in panic.
Now you're more, oh my God, everybody is positive.
Yeah.
But less people are dying. That should be the good news. But they didn't lie. They just showed you what they wanted to show.
Exactly. So it's kind of a half truth.
Yeah.
And then you kind of believe it because it's true. More people have the virus. But what that means in practice is less people are dying, which is...
And that's like what I think, like doing your own research is like key, you know, today to keep your mind healthy. Because if you trust the media 100%, if you trust like whatever you use as source of information, even scientific information, you might be having like the incomplete data, incomplete information. So, and now today, like you have this, the mainstream media dominating the narrative. You have the all the social media platforms. And like you're having access to this information, so for you, you don't have anywhere else to go. You know, you can't just go on the CDC website. Some people, they don't want to read the data.
Yeah,
they don't have the
will.
They don't understand. They don't even understand. Like
some people, I think.
Yeah, most people, they don't want to go. They don't trust their own eyes anymore. We have somebody.
This is a very good.
Yeah,
point.
We have somebody to thank for.
This
us,
is
know?
A very good.
That's
point.
What I'm saying. Like the media and the. Health organizations, they all
know
have
for
specialists.
Us.
They say, you don't understand about disease. You don't understand about what's
you
better for you.
Yeah.
Just listen to us. You know, we know what's better for you. Just do this. Don't trust your own eyes. Don't trust what you read. You know, don't trust
your own experience.
Yeah, your own, like, capability to analyze facts.
Yeah.
You know, just trust us, whatever we say. And I think this is very dangerous.
This is a very good point. I think a lot of people are falling for the trap where they read the news, maybe they read the CDC study and they think, well, that looks good. I think things are going better than we expect. Or say they read the last CDC study where it says that masks are not effective and there's no proof, right?
Nor for transmission, not for getting the virus.
Yeah,
like it doesn't matter if you're protecting somebody else.
Yeah.
This research was made in May and was released recently, and I was saying actually the mask, the N95 mask, is not the cloth mask, is the mask that people, the best mask in the market.
The best mask, yeah.
It's surgical mask. It's saying like it's not effective. The research showed that it's not effective for transmitting the virus, like preventing the transmission and preventing you from getting the virus.
So it's both ways.
Both ways.
Yeah. So maybe someone reads that, they understand the study, but then they look at the news and everyone's saying, no, you gotta wear your mask, otherwise grandma's gonna die.
Yeah.
Right? And then they're gonna be like, wait, but so maybe I didn't understand the study.
Oh, it's very complicated. You know, there's a bunch of graphs.
Yeah.
I'm not going to trust this statement that the conclusion. So, you know, just read the conclusion. The conclusion of the study is just saying like, okay, based on all the data that we gathered, this is why we agreed that that's the truth. According to this research.
According to this
research,
we got to
think about like the science. It's not something static. You know, today we say, oh, you anti-science if you disagree with this study. But what this study showed today, it might not be truth. The next study might show something else. That's how, you know, you have Nobel Prize of Medicine because every year you're making new discoveries.
Yeah.
That's how science works. It's not like, oh, I saw Attila saying this, so
this is true.
He's a PhD. He's a biologist. He knows everything. But this is not 100% true. You have if you think about nutrition, you have a bunch of studies. You don't check the quality of the studies, though, but you trust some expert to tell you, oh, this carnivore diet is good for you, this vegan diet is good for you. Here's the research. You know, we trust these people. These people are the gatekeepers of information for us.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
You know, so I think, like, people should... And if you don't have any experience, if you don't read... You know, that's why I like reading old stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I've been reading, like, a lot of George Orwell. And
Pio is addicted to Orwell.
Man, this guy, I've read, like, pretty much maybe 10 books of him.
That's
and I want to read, like, 100% of everything he wrote.
Nice.
Because this guy has such a mental clarity. Like, this one that I'm reading right now is, like, Fascism and Democracy. And he's talking about how related is fascism and communism. He's saying like all the things they are in common, they have in common. And like some people, they use the word fascist all the time, but they don't even know what it means.
Exactly.
Where it originated. Because we just, I'm hearing all the time
people are saying this.
So this might be true, but you don't know where it come from. So in this book that I'm reading right now, he's saying like there's a phrase at the end of the book that says, today the idea of objective truth it's fading away, is fading out all over the world. This scares me more than any atomic bomb.
That is insane.
And this is what I we talk first, objective truth. There's a few things that we know is objective truth. there's a few things that you think is subjective. Oh, this might be true, but mm-hmm. it's debatable.
Mm-hmm.
But some things like pedophilia, it's not debatable.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody wants to have sex with a kid, that's not debatable. It's wrong in every
aspect.
Every aspect in most like societies.
Mm-hmm.
It's not debatable. It's a crime. Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is. Say, what you tell me.
Example, like killing someone.
Killing someone.
Not debatable.
Yeah. It's not debatable, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, unless you're acting, there's a few cases.
Very like. Yeah, like self-defense, it's every, but it's not that case. It's not the, you know, so.
Yeah, killing someone, it's like, it's one of the things that subjective truth is usually wrong, you know? And you're not going to say, oh, that guy disagree with me. He has some dangerous idea, quote unquote, dangerous idea. So I'm going to kill him because his ideas are dangerous. Mm. It doesn't justify.
Killing
someone. Objective truth. It's just fading out, man. This guy wrote this 80 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. So,
And you see it today. You see on the news business. It's not news business anymore. It's opinion business.
Yeah.
So you see the news through the perspectives of your ideology.
Yeah. And the objective truth kind of fades away. And I think we were talking about that case of the guy that was not the George Floyd one, but what was the other one that you told
me? Rashid Brooks.
Yeah. So the cop that was he was expelled, like, I don't know what's the correct term.
He was fired.
Yeah. So he was fired from the police. And you told me, okay, so a lot of people are thinking that he just killed the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of things that happen in between. And this is a very good example of the objective truth fading. Because people will manipulate the information to an extent where they say, oh, this guy was sleeping in the car and people killed him.
Yeah.
Which is very different from what actually happened.
You need the whole truth. You don't need context.
Mm-hmm.
In situations like this, when somebody has their life taken
mm-hmm.
you gotta give context. You mm-hmm. can't just jump into conclusions without knowing what actually happened. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened in this case. This guy in Atlanta, he was killed at a Wendy's. Mm-hmm. And then everybody was talking about it. But everybody who was talking to me, like I didn't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
They were just saying two things. They say the guy was sleeping in the car and then a cop came and killed him. And that happened a bunch of stuff in between those two situations.
Moments, yeah.
What happened was the guy was in the drive-through. And there was a bunch of cars behind him. And they couldn't go through the drive-through.
Mm-hmm.
And Wendy's called the cops. Cops came. He was sleeping in the car. And they did the test of bafometro in Portuguese.
Yeah, it's alcohol test, I guess.
Alcohol test. Mm-hmm. And they saw he was pretty drunk. He was in the crime level.
Mm-hmm.
And they were taking him to the... they were putting the handcuffs on him
mm-hmm.
to take him to jail, just mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. detain him,
mm-hmm.
and then he reacts and grabbed the cop's taser and mm-hmm. try to run away and shoot the taser at the cops, and then the cops gave three fatal shots and mm-hmm. he ended up dying, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he didn't deserve to die.
Of course,
but
yeah.
What he did, he put a risk of like
the officer's life as well. Officer. Yeah.
So
yeah.
even the consensus on the law enforcement in the city in Atlanta, they said. He acted in was legitimate,
mm-hmm.
you know, was lawful,
mm-hmm.
was not unlawful. He killed the guy. He had all the reasons to do that
because
mm-hmm. he was.
But they still fired
himself.
Him.
But they still fired him
so
because
that's
the popular.
Up.
That's what I'm saying. The popular opinion is pressing the government to do stuff.
To do stuff. Mm-hmm.
You see the mayor and in Portland, what happened? He went to the. So Donald.
I
Trump,
don't know what he did.
Donald Trump sent the feds to Portland
uh-huh.
against the mayor and the governor,
okay.
and the mayor came to the. Protest and he was saying, oh, I don't see anything here that deserves to be tear gassed and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end, everybody was cursing at him, throwing things at him, trying to
at the mayor.
He was defending these people, and the people were cursing at him, saying, you should resign,
get
out of here, mm-hmm. and throwing rocks at him, throwing mm-hmm. bottles at him. And he was like, I'm in your side, you know, and like. You can see this.
This is like, the legit, like, this is play stupid games, win stupid prizes, right?
Yeah.
You go there, you tell them, eh, good job, guys, and then they're going to be against you.
Yeah, and like, and this guy, he's just pressured, you know? Like,
yeah.
He's pressured. He has to do something. And he thought it might be a good idea to stay beside, quote-unquote, on the side of people.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, the people didn't want him there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
They were against him.
Mm-hmm.
And he just had a rude awakening, you know? That's what happened to him.
Yeah.
And you see a bunch of stuff like politicians and a bunch of people, even yourself, guys. Like, a bunch of things that you might agree, we say you agree today, or some opinions you might have, you can't tell everybody.
Yeah.
because you might be canceled.
Yeah.
You know, that the cancel culture is like everywhere.
Yeah.
So everybody's, I was talking the other day with a guy and he was just posting, he was going out to like by himself, you know, he was surfing, he was going to the beach, like far from everybody, without a mask. He was posting his stories. And like hundreds of people stopped following him just because of this. And he was saying he couldn't like be himself.
He couldn't give his opinions.
He was anxious because he was always walking in eggshells.
Yeah.
He didn't know what to tell, you know, to express his opinion because he could lose his job or somebody might not want to do business with him. And that's how you see the celebrity business today. Like, that's why you see so many celebrities making statements about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Wear a mask or do this, behave this way.
Yeah.
You know, be a decent human being. Like, their idea of human being, like, why would you listen to somebody who has a fake life? You know, celebrities, they don't have real life, man.
This is such an interesting point because it brings up that... Remember when everybody was posting black squares on Instagram?
Yeah.
As soon as I saw that, my immediate reaction was, okay, you know what? People are going to post that. And then the black life movement, whatever, the blacks are going to get mad at it. I was sure that it was going to happen. And then as soon as it happens, 1 week later, they say, oh, guys, you know... Only posting black squares is not going to help. You guys are hypocrites, right? Whatever. And it's a very good point because what they do is they pressure you even more every time. So you say you're sorry for one thing that the mob thinks you did wrong. And then they're going to pressure you to more and to more and to more. And then they're going to take all your opinions away. So long as you're able to agree with every single point of whatever agenda it is. So when I do something that I think it's right and people think it's wrong, whatever, I don't care. If like, oh, I'm going out and I don't have a mask, I'll receive hundreds of DMs of people saying, where's your mask? And I say, I'm not wearing one. I'm far away from people. Masks haven't been proven that they're effective. So I'm no different than you wearing a mask. And then I'll have those DMs and people are going to unfollow me and people that are listening to this podcast are going to get mad at me. I don't really care because I'm not doing anything wrong. And then, If I say oh, I'm so sorry,
you're admitting
you're
wrong.
I'm admitting my wrong, and you're going to come after me for another thing.
Of course.
Which there's one book that I read in the beginning of my law school that is a very cool book. It's called The Fight for, well, I don't know the name in English, but it's a Yaring book, and it's called basically The Fight for, The Strive for Law, I think it's the name in English, but in Portuguese it's A Luta pelo Direito. And it tells a little story about a guy that owns land, and his neighbor took a very small piece of his land one day, and then he didn't say anything. And then the neighbor took a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, until one day he didn't have any land and his neighbor had everything. And that's basically what you do when you say you're sorry. You're giving someone else your land. Unless you did something horribly wrong, of course. Mm-hmm. And another thing about saying that you're sorry, it shouldn't be to a general public. It should be to someone. So if I say something to you, Pinho, right now, I say, Pinho, you're a piece of shit. Then I should say, listen, Pinho, I'm sorry because I called you a piece of shit. Mm-hmm. It's very different from saying I'm sorry to a lot of people because I somehow offended someone.
Man, and this comes back to the objective truth.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very subjective what is wrong, what is right today.
Exactly.
If you don't donate, for example, if you don't donate for Black Lives Matter, you're a bad person.
Bad person.
If you agree with whatever, if you voted for Bolsonaro, you're a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
What? So like today, you might have known somebody for your whole life and like, for 20 years,
you love this person.
You hate them for one decision.
And now you hate them. Mm.
You know, it's just like today, I feel like everybody, it's being pressured to behave a certain way, to declare their opinion. I don't think like just because you have a mouth, you have to talk.
Say everything.
Say your opinion about every matter
not.
In the world.
Yeah,
like, I don't
not.
Know about a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
and I don't feel bad about it. You know,
yeah.
When somebody asks me, hey, Pinho, what do you think? What do you think about the politics in Saudi Arabia?
I have no idea.
Man, like, I don't want to go into that matter because I don't know much about it.
Exactly.
You know? But today, no. If you ask like a 17-year-old kid in Brazil, they're going to have an opinion for every single thing.
Yeah.
Politics, whatever. Like, just ask whatever you want. They're going to have a very strong opinion about something.
Yeah.
And I just feel like everybody today is... we bringing up our tribal instincts.
Mm.
Every human wants to be part of a tribe,
yeah.
Want to be part of a group.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that in everything. Like,
mm-hmm.
And the kind of diet you follow. Mm. You can see the carnivore diets.
Everybody.
Yeah. You see the vegan diets. I'm a vegan myself, but I don't agree with a bunch of stuff the organized vegans say.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what happens when you see the world through the lens of a certain ideology or a certain, like, for example, I'm going to give an example of veganism.
Mm.
You're going to see everything by the lens of veganism. You're going to see every bad thing that happens today, all the poverty, everything that's going on.
It's fault of
people who eat meat or the meat industry or whatever.
It's the enemy they have.
Yeah. And if you're like, let's say, if you're a left-wing person and you are against the patriarchy,
everything is false.
Everything, every single thing. You're going to see every single problem. Like, it's so complex, man. The world is so complex. You have a bunch of matters. Like, different cultures, they have problems because of different stuff. Like, you can't just simplify everything and say, this is the cause and you got to banish this.
Mm.
You got to abolish this.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that simple, you know?
Mm.
And this is with every ideology.
Mm.
If you go to everything, you're going to see through the lens of that ideology, and I think you're going to be wrong most of the times. So that's what I'm saying, like, when you have this objective truth, subjective truth, when you see,
yeah,
like, oh, if you're not doing this, it's because you're a bad person, and you cancel the person because of that.
Yeah,
I just feel like that's very bad for the individual side. Like, I feel like we all are different people.
Yeah.
We think differently about different matter. Like, I like Mike, but we don't agree 100% with everything.
Never,
you know? And we never will.
Yeah.
And I think that's healthy.
Yeah.
You know, like, you should think your way, and I think you should have your own opinion about things.
Check,
you know,
if it's recording, just to make sure.
Okay, let me check. No.
Go, do.
I think you should have your own opinion about things, you know, like, I think that's healthy, and so I just think today you're being pressured to think the way everybody's behaving. You have this herd behavior, you have pensamento de manada, you know,
herd behavior, group thinking,
you have this, and you're being pressured to think that way, so I don't think that's very healthy for the individual itself, for freedom, you know, when you have, like, you're being pressured, you know, like, it's, I just think it takes out of your, you can contribute to the discussion of things, you know, you might be right, you might see something that I don't know, that I don't see, you know, and I've changed my mind a bunch of times about many, many things, you know, and I'm not, like, I don't feel bad for that, you know, like, I just feel like that's normal, you know, you're always going to be growing, you're always going to be learning things, and I think that's healthy.
Yeah.
If you think you're 17 and you think you know everything about life, I think that's a bad place to be, you know, like, you're too rigid in your thinking.
And honestly, I've been there, because when I was 17, I thought, man, I know a lot more than this other person.
Been there. Yeah. You've all been
and
there.
Then once you get that very big awakening, you're like, oh, actually, I know nothing. And
I know
I don't know anything about this.
Yeah.
And that's good.
And that's what I think, like, it's very important to read old stuff, man.
Mm.
Socrates, you're saying,
mm.
Know thyself.
Mm.
The more I know, the more I know that
more
I don't
know. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, these people, they wrote this, like,
thousands of years ago,
you know? And then George Orwell talked about this risk of not having objective truth anymore almost 100 years ago.
And it's our present now.
Yeah, and you see a bunch of stuff. You see, like, they predicted how the world would be today. And,
insane.
Like, I think we should listen to these people.
Mm.
It's not just the mainstream people. We can contribute to something, but I think we can learn from the past a lot more than we think, you know? And you're not going to learn through watching a YouTube video. You know, YouTube is great. I have a YouTube channel. We have a podcast. Podcast is great, you know? But nothing better than going to the sources.
And
reading about these people who actually had experience. One of the reasons that I like George Orwell so much, his name wasn't George Orwell.
Yeah, it
was just a name that he chose to write his articles and books.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Arthur Blair, I think.
Mm.
And he was a guy, like, he was 19 years old. He was born in India.
Mm.
India was a British colony at that time. He was British, but he was born in India. And then he moved to UK when he was, like, 3 years old. And then came back there. He signed up to be a police officer on the British Empire.
Mm.
And then he went to Burma. Burma was a British colony. Today it's called Myanmar. I don't know if you know.
I know
Southeast
Myanmar.
Asia,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was there. He served as a police officer for 5 years. And then he saw a bunch of wrong things, and then he just quit. came back, and he was like 19 years old, 19 to 24. He served for 5 years as a police officer, and then he went to
Paris.
Mm-hmm. And then he lived on the streets for many years. Came back, man. I'm reading this book about his life, man. He comeu o pão que o diabo amassou. How would I say this?
I don't even know how to say this.
He ate the bread.
Devil's what? How can I say?
I don't know. It's funny. Yeah, it's funny though. I don't think it exists. But he was completely broke. He lived on the streets. He faced hunger, and it was horrible, horrible.
Mm.
And then he came back to the UK. He fought on the civil war in Spain.
Mm,
he was shot, and then he.
What a life, man!
Man, and he died. He was wounded, seriously wounded in the war.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died at the age of 47. He lived 47 years, man.
So
just
young.
15 years more than I'm living right now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But look at how many experiences this guy had. Mm. He wrote so many good books. He wrote so many articles. He's not like the intellectual, mainstream intellectual today. Carnal, for example.
Yeah,
right?
Not Leonardo.
He's not Pondé. I'm just here in my office, just writing stuff, telling people how to think.
Yeah.
No, he was living. And you can see, like...
He was Raiz, right?
Yeah, he was roots.
He was roots. Right?
Yeah, so that's what I like about this guy. He had experience. He had, like, he thought about politics. But until this book that I read, he was like 30-something, and he didn't have any idea, any strong opinion about politics.
Yeah.
He wasn't like a socialist. He
cool.
didn't say he was a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a guy living on the streets, man.
Mm-hmm.
He had more things to think about, like the next meal, what he's going to eat next meal, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
He was more urgent matters to think about.
Yeah.
And it's funny to think about, like, he wrote so much about politics, but until he was 32, my age, he didn't have any strong opinion about which group ideology he was actually supporting.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, the last 15 years of his life, from 32 to 47, he died. He was, I think, he was 46. He was not even 47.
Mm.
But he developed all this information. He knew, like, from he saw, like, Europe was like they have a bunch of different lines of thoughts at that time. During that time, you had the second, the between wars.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Second World War.
Yeah.
You have the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
You have all this tension, like, between capitalism
and socialism.
And socialism.
Mm.
You have this democracy, tyranny. You
mm-hmm.
have some fascist societies, like dictators,
mm-hmm.
In Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So everything he thought about was like
living
fruit of his experience.
Yeah, which is very different from what we see today.
100%, man.
Yeah, dude. So I think that the bottom line of this podcast is read Orwell.
Oh, 100%, man. You gotta read, not only him, man. Like, these people that, like, from 20s to 50s, these people who lived through the World War II, this. Thinkers,
mm-hmm.
they have a lot to contribute to right now. You know,
mm-hmm.
we don't have wars right now,
mm-hmm.
but we, like, they predicted, like, so clearly what's happening right now.
Yeah,
it's not something new. This was all planned.
Planned.
You know? Mm. That's a scary part.
Insane.
You know? When you think you know something, oh, I know this because I know because of the facts.
Yeah.
But it's actually like there, somebody showed you something. Somebody wants you to think that way, to behave that way.
Mm.
So I feel like we always need to be policing ourselves.
Yes.
Thinking, why do I think this way?
Dude, you this know? Is the best. I think this is the way to close this podcast. It's the best advice we can give, which is that's the way I position myself in the world is when I have an opinion about something. Say whatever it is, right? My opinion about masks, whatever. I think, why do I think this way? And when you think this, it's actually really freeing because maybe you're going to have to accept that you don't know. And when you say, why do I think this way? And you say, I don't know. That's probably when you should look it up a little bit further to see why you think that way. Because if you think a specific, like, say the person that was listening to Attila when he said a million people would die.
Mm-hmm.
I remember reading that study from Imperial College and thinking, holy fuck, a million people are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I really want my parents to live. Let's everyone use our masks and be isolated.
Yeah.
I remember thinking that way.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as things developed a little bit, I was like, wait, why do I think that? And then I read some other things and I was like, okay, maybe I have to change my opinion here. Mm-hmm. So
there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like, you made a mistake, you say, okay, guys, that was bad data.
Mm.
But you're not going to see these people admitting that.
Because all their success are predicated on it.
They built, like, imagine somebody who lied their whole life. Like, to, let's say, Mike was cheating on his wife for so long, 10, 20 years. He had kids.
Exactly.
And then some friend of his wife saw him with somebody else kissing on the bar.
Yeah.
He's going to admit that? I don't think so. You know, he's going to say...
This never happened, guys.
This never happened. That girl, she just don't like me, don't like you. She doesn't want us to be together and happy. You know, you're going to make your... You know, when your life
and
is
I,
so many...
And I, you know, I think that people will actually believe that lie. Right? Because it's so crazy in their heads.
Of course.
That some people will be like, no, I didn't cheat.
Yeah.
Right? Just the example.
You believe the lie.
You believe the lie.
Yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. Like, we have to be more independent researchers, you know, like just like everybody else. You're responsible, you know, for the information that you get. You know, like even learning English, you gotta be an independent learner.
Exactly.
That's what Mike says all the time, right? Mm-hmm. You gotta take ownership of your learning.
Yes.
You can't blame Wizard. Oh, I didn't learn at Wizard. It's not their fault. It's your fault. You know, like you gotta find a way. You gotta. It's your responsibility. How bad you want it?
Exactly.
You know? This is the same thing.
Mm. Yeah. So I think at the end of the day, this podcast was awesome, and the lessons are:
don't hate us, guy.
Don't hate us. First of all, don't cancel us because you can't. And the second thing is, you're responsible for your health, for your happiness, and you're responsible for your freedom. So you have the burden of freedom, which is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It is kind of bad, but there's also the good sides. And lastly, you're responsible for your information, the information that you get. You're responsible for it. It's not anyone's fault. And I think that's it.
Yeah, that's it. And guys, like, you have two options, right? Like, in a situation like this, you have two options. You got to keep your mind healthy and your body healthy, or you just can't stay unhealthy and die at home, you know?
Yeah,
like, just
up to you.
Get in the spiral, you know, get anxiety, depression.
Yeah.
It's something very, like, everybody's going through a hard time right now. Like, many people lost the lives of relative friends.
Yeah.
Some people lost their jobs, you know? Like, everybody's going through a hard time right now.
Yeah.
And you have to have the response. There's something you can do.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something you can do. So focus on you can do. What you can't do is already solved.
That's
so
it.
So don't care about it, you know? Like, there's nothing you can do about it. So just focus on what you can change, and that's it. That's what I've been doing. That's what I've been trying. And I find myself very fortunate, like, during this time, I think I'm even healthier than I was before, mentally, physically.
So good. For me too.
My relationship with friends and my wife, you know, my dog, everything. My house is cleaner.
Yeah.
I'm eating better.
Yeah.
You know, I just took more time to think about all those things. I could be doing this, or I could be watching
Netflix all the time.
Counting the deaths, or watching some crappy TV show, eating crap, and making my life worse in the future.
It's,
you know,
your decision at the end
Everything
of the day.
That you decide today is going to make your life worse or better next day or in the future.
So good,
think
bro.
About that.
Guys, that's it. Thank you so much, Pinho.
Thank you,
and
brother.
If you guys are listening to this on my podcast, you guys got to check Pinho out. Pinho Calistenia, this guy's the best.
If you're listening to my podcast, go the podcast to learn English, right?
Podcast para aprender inglês.
Exactly. So if you want to learn English, if you want to have independent thought, just go to this guy and, like, free yourself from the boundaries of Portuguese content.
That's it, yeah.
Just go there. Take care, guys.
Take care, guys.
See you next time.